Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies, 7th printing, from May 2000. Today, contrary to the opening spiel that we hear every day on MDC, we are not talking about Ninjas and Super Spies. We are almost done with Ninjas and Super Spies. We have nothing left but the back cover, which I'm sure will be an exciting episode. I haven't recorded it yet, but let's be honest, there's nothing good or interesting to say about the back cover. It's probably going to be a moment for some acknowledgements, a moment of reflection to think about what we've done and why we've done it and where we are in our lives, especially me. But you too, you listen to it. Look, we're all in this. But today we're taking a moment to do something totally different, a bonus episode, the only one in this season of MDC, and this is a moment where we're going to talk about something related to Ninjas and Super Spies, a webwork trademark, all rights reserved, Palladium Books, the unofficial Highlander RPG supplement. This supplement was sent to me by its author, Dr. G, the man of nerdology, a staunch supporter of Mega Dumbcast, who has been immensely important and helpful in retweeting the show, getting the word out there. I've been on his podcast, Dial G for Gamer. He's been on my podcast, my real podcast, Gameable. And you know how in Japan, there are like salarymen who are pro wrestling fans, and so they pay a lot of money to go to dinner with pro wrestlers, and then they let the pro wrestlers chop them to see how it feels to be chopped? That's where Dr. G's head is at, and he decided to let me take a day's episode to tear into this supplement, which he wrote a long time ago. So without further ado, the unofficial Highlander RPG supplement. So this is exactly what you would expect it to be. This is rules for creating an immortal for use in any of the Megaverse games. There's a bit of a focus here. It is intended, it says, primarily for Beyond the Supernatural, which makes a lot of sense, right? It's a setting where people don't know, only vaguely suspect all the supernatural things that are out there, which is the best scenario in which to be an immortal, right? You're not Superman. All somebody's got to do is remove or destroy your head, and you're done. Basically, an immortal is like a handsome zombie. And as with zombies, your advantage over the rest of humanity largely depends upon the element of surprise. These rules, however, are also intended to apply to kind of Heroes Unlimited, but not really. It's not recommended. Not really Robotech. Maybe Rifts. But Ninjas and Super Spies is the other big one, along with Beyond the Supernatural, that we are told would benefit from the presence of immortals. So this is sort of in our wheelhouse here on the first season of MDC. We got katanas, we got trench coats, we got dudes with beard stubble, using borderline appropriative combat techniques, a soundtrack of squealing guitars, which I at least always hear when I read Ninjas and Super Spies. So there's an awful lot of overlap. I can't go into this supplement in the detail that I have gone into Ninjas and Super Spies because it's a multi-page supplement, about 34 pages. It only gets one episode, so I'm just going to hit the high points. We got some opening fiction, which takes place in a warehouse, because anything else would be misleading about what Highlander is, obviously. Spoilers, there's lightning. Then we got an introduction, and the name of this section is Who Wants to Live Forever? And wants is spelled W-A-N-T apostrophe S. Now you know, dumbheads, that despite my personal obsession with spelling and issues of style, I don't typically award dumbest thing to a little mechanics error like this. Whether it's spelling or whether it's a little grammar thing. But I almost just threw up my hands here and said this is the worst thing because here's the deal. Who Wants to Live Forever is one of this series' many, many taglines. It's not a random phrase. It's a marquee phrase for the franchise. And you know what? It comes from a Queen song. Getting this wrong is insulting to Queen, and Queen is, frankly, the only party here who's done nothing wrong. The whole success of the Highlander franchise is basically because the first Highlander movie was a really good Queen music video. You can tell that theirs is the key creative contribution here, because imagine the first Highlander movie with any other bullshit like hair band. Forget it. Useless. It's a kind of magic, on the other hand. Queen's album that served as an unofficial soundtrack to Highlander. Impeccable. Gaming applications far beyond Highlander. I've talked about this before in other contexts. Queen is one of the primary reasons that Highlander is such a good Vampire the Masquerade movie. It's that soundtrack. Princes of the Universe. Ventru. It's a Kind of Magic, Tremere, Who Wants to Live Forever, Toreador. The clan-based hits keep coming. Everything is perfect. But anyway, enough of it. I had to defend Queen I had to take a controversial stance on the internet that Freddie Mercury is great, and no one is allowed to besmirch him. So alright, we're moving on. We get some character creation rules, which, I'll be honest with you, they're succinct, they're easy to understand. I maybe don't agree with making every attribute 4d6 in a megaverse full of dragons, demigods, and superheroes. I'm not sure why long-lived Scottish randos get better stats than everybody else, but whatever. You roll randomly for age. You may be anywhere from like 19 to 1,045 years old. There's a huge, huge power swing here, but you know what? It's Palladium. Rolling randomly is optional. There's a note here warning the GM. This is frankly all much more responsible, clear, and succinct than Palladium is in its official character creation rules. So fair enough. I'm not going to pick too hard on this. There's a big section about how your age gives you extra skill selections, which you can use to get additional skills or you can use to enhance the level of your different skills. Leveling up individual skills, while it does open kind of a mechanical can of worms, is actually something I would love to see in official Palladium core games, so I don't really have any objection there either. It's when we get to the Quickening that we begin to run into a few problems. Quickening takes the place of all of the other forms of internal mojo in the Megaverse for an immortal. You don't get Chi, you don't get PPE, you don't get ISP, you just get Quickening. You can get more Quickening by giving up your skill selections. You can use your Quickening, conversely, to buy more skill selections, which means that you can decide that you learned to work on old cars in the 50s, or you learned how to do floral arrangement while you were living in Japan in the 1700s. Or, if we're being realistic, you're going to sacrifice all those selections to get your weapon proficiency sword skill up to 15th level. The reason is that, as those of you know who are familiar with the Highlander franchise, and if you're not, it occurs to me, you're probably not still listening, so we're all Highlander buddies here. As we all know, swords are key to an immortal's existence. They have the whole span of eternity before them, seemingly, but they're still human beings, which means that they use it trying to find and kill one another. And they do this with swords because the only, or at least one of the very few ways to kill an immortal, is to cut off the head. And then you can absorb your foe's quickening, gain their power. It's a sword-based existence. You really want that sword skill up to 15th level, and that's attainable for an average age immortal in this system. So let's just move straight on to that. There are a few original or altered skills in this supplement for playing a campaign with immortals in it. There is the lore:immortals skill, which gives you knowledge of other immortals. You use it to know other immortals you meet so that you can do the sort of flashback thing, like from the TV series Highlander, where you've met this person before. You had USA Network-style PG-rated sexy times with them in the 1500s. That's a cool addition. There's Conceal Sword, which I'm less certain about. Many times, Highlander supplements for World of Darkness or whatever will create a special power like hammer space inside your trench coat to hide your sword. Here it's a skill, which, for reasons that we've discussed on the regular episodes of MDC, I'm just not sure that adding yet another skill for hiding something on your body is totally necessary. But much more importantly than that, there is a new version of Weapon Proficiency Sword. It is marked new/optional, and it gives different bonuses from the conventional Weapon Proficiency Sword to interlock to a whole new system of dueling combat that is also in this supplement. Scrolling past a lot of random tables about what kind of filthy lucre you've accumulated over the centuries, we'll find Section 4, Combat, where we basically get 10 custom maneuvers that you can use in the context of a sword duel. You use normal Palladium initiative and attacks per melee, but instead of your regular combat options, you get strike, parry, dodge, entangle, charge, disarm, feint, trip, riposte, attack weapon, which allows you to try to break your foe's sword, power blow, which allows you to essentially attempt a critical but lose your opportunity for defense, and, crucially, headshot. This is the maneuver you use to take your foe's head and absorb their power. Now, I personally would probably have called it behead or decapitate. I wouldn't have called it headshot. That puts me in mind of those glossy, smug actor photos. Although, Adrian Paul, the actor from Highlander the series, as good as he was at swordsmanship, even better at headshots. He's got a fantastic, brooding, handsome, manly headshot, does Adrian Paul. Google him. His bonus to headshot is outrageous. But in the unofficial Highlander RPG supplement, headshots are about attacking your foe's neck. To behead them, you have to roll an 18 or better, but that's not a natural roll. That's just whatever your total is. You get your normal bonuses. The question is, what are those bonuses? This is the single key question to Highlander roleplaying. How do you chop off a head? The answer is you got to roll an 18 or better on your headshot roll under this system. But if you look at the weapon proficiency sword skill offered in this supplement, it gives you separate bonuses to strike and to headshot. It's not clear whether they stack, or whether they're considered to be two different maneuvers that have two different bonuses. In any case, the way that weapon proficiency sword scales is really strange. Levels 1 through 9, you keep getting bonuses to new maneuvers in this weird combat sword dueling system. And up through level 9, you only end up with a total of plus 1 to all 10 of these maneuvers. So despite being an immortal who has lived for maybe 1,000 years, depending on the sword, for your entire existence, if you're a 9th level immortal, you have a grand total of plus 1 to strike with a sword. Much worse than regular people who get to take the regular weapon proficiency sword, which leads to a bizarre situation where immortals are actually like the worst swordsmen in class. You know, like with martial artists or like superheroes like the Black Knight who have magic swords. If you're all 6th level and you're all fighting bad guys, you know, Black Knight and Paul the Samurai are talking behind your back like, what is up with Duncan? I mean, this guy was using a sword 300 years before we were born, and we're like twice as good at it as he is. Is he like a little slow? Is this some kind of curse? But they're not going to be laughing at you anymore once you get past 9th level, because at that point, each level you start getting a plus 1 apparently to all of the maneuvers. The wording is a little weird, but it looks like you get a bonus to all the maneuvers every level after that, which means that by 15th level, the highest level that you can achieve in a Palladium game, you actually rocket to the top of your swordsmanship skill. So despite the fact that we've got actual sensible character creation, despite the fact that we've got rules to specialize in skills you care about, this is where the author really hits his stride, delivering prime Palladium dumbness. This is the dumbest thing in this page, because there's two different ways to read the headshot rule. It's impossible to tell which way they're supposed to work, as far as I can tell, and both of them are broken as shit. The first one is that the headshot is a totally different maneuver that does not benefit from your strike bonus. So keep in mind, weapon proficiency isn't the only thing you get. You also get hand-to-hand combat skills. In fact, you can specifically have martial arts skills from ninjas and super spies. Hell, you can have one per century you've been alive, which means if you're a 600-year-old immortal, you could have 6 martial arts forms from ninjas and super spies. Probably for practical purposes, the skills you'd have to sacrifice for that would limit you to more like 3. But the point is, you do get bonuses coming in at you from other places, like your physical skills, your hand-to-hand, all that. So your bonuses to strike, your bonuses to parry, your bonuses to dodge, those are all climbing and climbing from other sources in addition to the weird weapon proficiency sword thing. Not so with headshot. Mathematically, this means that your headshotting ability is always going to be lagging behind people's ability to stop their heads from getting chopped off. In fact, even against immortals, even against normal people, very young, like first or second level characters, are very likely to have a parry bonus as good or better than your bonus to headshot. And that's assuming you've cranked your weapon proficiency sword way, way up, above 9th level, beyond the reach of most Palladium campaigns. Because the dueling rules ignore critical hits and just compare attack numbers to defense numbers, this means the odds of you ever being able to quite pull off a headshot on your foe are really, really low. We're not going to be having fights like the ones in the Highlander TV series, where it's like swing, parry, swing, parry, swing, parry, somebody gets beheaded, just like clockwork every week. We're going to be having fights like, the Black Knight in Holy Grail, where you've just kind of whacked the limbs off your immortal foe until they can't successfully roll away from your coup de grace. So if we read the rules that way, it's a bummer that this whole dueling mechanic converges on a bunch of frustrated immortals who can't behead one another. But if we read it the other way, if we read it as the bonus to head chop is in addition to your regular strike roll, then if we crank these skills up, we're talking about a total of something like plus 14 to head chop before bonuses from hand-to-hand skills, potentially right from character creation, because you bought your weapon proficiency sword all the way up to level 15 at first level with all those extra skill bumps you get. A plus 14 is almost insurmountable in a regular like Ninjas and Super Spies or Beyond the Supernatural game, which would really turn you into like a head chopping machine. You'd be able to behead somebody with a very high degree of success every turn if you want to, which would lead to, number one, a series of very short Queen music videos as you just run up to another fabled immortal and chop their head right off before their initiative comes up. And number two, a scenario where when you're up against non-immortal foes who are not full of delicious lightning, you're just sending heads popping off in every direction. But ultimately, whether you can never behead or always behead on the first turn, that's not exactly Highlander. These duels won't really be duels, and that's the dumbest thing in this supplement. Nonetheless, I am sincerely impressed and kind of taken aback after complaining about palladium so much that, yeah, actually this like amateur supplement shows such a greater degree of care, consistency, and intelligibility than the officially published palladium product. After like 7 solid months of complaining about palladium products every day, you can begin to weirdly feel like you're picking on them. But no, they deserve it. Dr. G, the man of neurology, is nothing but a solid citizen who likes a good sword movie, and he produced better material than what you could find on any random page of Ninjas and Super Spies. So he is to be congratulated for putting these supplemental head chopping rules out into the world, despite the fact that they kind of dropped the ball when it comes to, you know, head chopping. Join me tomorrow as we discuss the back cover of Ninjas and Super Spies on the final episode of Season 1 of MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day, except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.